It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or you can send us a text on that same number. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed, and I'm glad I'm here, not on the damn phone.
Tom is in the house.
Yes, I am so tired of this COVID-19 crap, and thank God I'm not part of the herd that is weeding out.
Yeah, this is true. So far,
I'm not part of that herd, so...
No, and, you know, it's seems like everybody's ready to get out and do something.
Oh, yeah? Stir crazy. Let me tell you what happened. This will take a few minutes. Got a friend of mine. I got a brother by another mother that mm-hmm. lives in Memphis, and he and his family. Mm-hmm. We met on a cruise. He calls me last Monday.
Yeah.
On vacation day there. And he says, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. I said, when did you move? Oh, I didn't move. I'm in my car. Mm-hmm. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Major, what are you doing down there? Oh, I'm going to the beach. Mm-hmm. I said, what do you mean you're going to the beach? He said, yeah, we're going to the beach. We're going down to Biloxi, and we're going to walk on the sand, and we're going to get water, our feet in the water, and we're going to get wet. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get up on one of those big back patio porches down there. We're going to eat us a bunch of good seafood.
Yep.
And I said, you going to spend the night? Oh, no, we're driving back to Memphis. I said, what? 6 hours down, 6 hours back, and 4 hours on the beach.
That's right. Yeah,
hey. I said, well, give me a call when you get into the suburbs of Gulfport. I said, I'll
right.
So they were getting out of the car down at the souvenir stand when I drove up on the beach over there. And so we went down and got our feet wet and got in the sand, mm-hmm. you know, played stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, you know, there was seven adults mm-hmm. and then two cars, and it was his family and his daughters and his wife's mother, I believe it was.
Right.
And an aunt. And they were just fried from being in the house locked up
ready
for the last
out.
Couple of months, you know?
Yep.
And I said, well, Major, how'd your garden do? Oh, that got screwed up. I said, what do you mean? Well, I couldn't fix my garden. I couldn't get out of the house to go do my garden. He said, you know, that's about 10 miles from the house.
Yeah.
And he said, so I couldn't go over there and take care of it. And I've had a heart attack before.
Yeah.
And so he said, I had to stay in the house. He's mm-hmm. 78 years old, you know.
Right, right.
So I'm going, well, you know, I totally understand, my man.
Well, you know, it's better safe than sorry. But, I mean, that's eventually you got to get out and get moving.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So true, buddy. So true.
You can go south in a hurry if you don't get out and move around.
I had the same problem. I had my great-granddaughter. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Tony's son, which is my grandson's daughter.
Right.
So she was born February the 11th. Well, mm-hmm. I went to Pensacola to the hospital to see her.
Right.
But I didn't hold her or anything because all this stuff was going on. I didn't get close to her. I was just there.
Right.
Made sure that her mom and the baby and everything all worked out all mm-hmm. right. You know how you wait to go through all this stuff.
Right.
And they said, well, you want to hold the baby? I said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know what I've been exposed to. I've been sitting in a waiting room in there with 30 other people. No.
Right.
I said, I'll come back later. Well, last week was my first comeback later.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm going like she's talking and carrying on, rattling, you know, and laughing, giggling. I'm going like, dang, baby.
That's right.
She looked at me and frowned. I said, uh-oh, I got troubles.
Yeah.
She ain't going to like this old man. But, you know, stuff like that messes you up. I mean, at my age, I went through World War II, I went through the Korean War, you know, I was in service right after the Korean War, been mm-hmm. before Nam, and we haven't been exposed to this type of a pandemic or whatever, you know?
Right, right.
You know, in World War II, I can remember, you know, with the lights being out, and we got a fire bucket walking down the street, you know, and mm-hmm. Daddy was on the fire marshal thing there, and you had one on every street, and you had a fire bucket full of you know, with a little spray hose on it and the pump and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And you walked around to make sure nobody had their lights on because it was lights out after such and such time and all that kind of crap.
Right. Right.
But it wasn't stay in the house, fool, you know.
Yeah.
But all you got to do, son, is get on the street, and you know people have quit staying at the house.
Yeah.
And I'll bet your business has jumped back, too.
Well, you know, our business is picking back up. I'm not going to say that it's 100%,
yeah.
Because it's not. We're probably about 80% of what we should be, which is better than a lot of people are faring.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so... But people have not been out. They haven't been getting into accidents,
right,
as
right.
Everybody understands. From if the insurance companies are giving money back on your premiums,
right? I got two little checks. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't buy dinner with it,
right?
You know, but I got two checks.
But if they're giving a dime back, you know, I promise you, they're making more than that,
right?
Than what they're giving back for
don't
sure.
You know.
So that means that they're not wrecking cars, so we're not, you know, repairing vehicles, you know, like we have been, as far as, you know, collision damage. You know, people haven't been getting out and getting on the roads. The cars are not failing like they were.
Right.
You know, you don't get near as much wear and tear, you know, if it's sitting in the garage. Yeah.
That's true.
So it's hurt everybody's, you know, business. You know, we were one of the lucky industries that got to keep operating.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, because there was a whole bunch of them that couldn't. Yeah.
But, you know, my son, my son Tony, they're at the BMW shop in Pensacola, and they had the biggest month that they've had, you know, all year.
Really? Yeah.
He said they've never seen so many people coming in buying cars.
Hmm.
And he said they knew what they wanted when they got there. He said they, you know, and that everybody that comes in the store is a car buyer. They're not tire kickers.
Right.
They're not looking,
right.
You know.
Right.
When they come in, they're ready to buy.
Well, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
you know?
No.
They're putting that stimulus check to good use.
One of the people that advertises on this radio station with a used car lot has sold more cars since that check come out than he's ever sold in the history of his company.
Yeah.
He said, it's funny how all of my down payments are $1,000 or $1,200.
Right, right.
But he said, you know, I'm going to give them 90 days or 120 days to make that payment.
Right.
So, man, they cruised him. They got their little stimulus check, got them a new ride. They rocking and knocking.
You know, I was actually noticing on the I was out headed to lunch today, and I got to looking around. And it was like, man, there's a whole bunch of cars out here with drive-out tags. People had just bought. So, I mean, it's – a lot of them are used, but, you know, that's okay, too.
Well, I want to break – you brought that up. Drive-out tags. When did we start – I thought we got rid of those.
No, yeah, you still – I mean, it's the tag from the dealer that you've bought the vehicle from. It's just something to say that, you know, hey, I just bought this. You know, give me a couple of days to go get a tag for it.
Okay.
You'd be amazed how many people you see ride around with them on there forever.
Yeah, some of them seem like they have water damage and, you know, and mud damage. And
yeah,
like maybe they were on another car or something.
Exactly. You know, that's.
But you can't go to damn driver's license place because this closed down. They're quarantined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody, one of the people in there has got the 19, and so they shut down the whole place until this Thursday, I think, they're going to open back up.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So they can't give you no tickets.
I guess they can give you a little leeway on that.
But, yeah, they can't give you no tickets because you can't get a tag.
Yeah. Well, they said you can go to some of the other
offices. They have another office in Theodore, I guess.
Theodore, I believe.
Theodore, Tillman's Corners. Theodore it is.
Yeah. So it's it can be done. We do have a text here from Michelle. She was asking about Hertz Rentals is selling some of their vehicles, and they've got some – some of the Corvettes that they've got.
Are they new ones?
And, yeah, I believe they are. And, I don't know exactly which ones they have. I don't know that they're really a special edition. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
I know Hertz over the years has had some special edition vehicles that they commissioned, like their Rental Racer, the Mustang, Shelby Mustangs and stuff they did at one time. But they'll be popular just for the simple fact that, you know, you maybe will get one.
Right. So, yeah. I understand some of them are selling for like $120,000 or so now that were bought.
Depends on which trim level and performance level that you get. I mean, the entry level is somewhere around $60,000.
But I'm talking about the base resale. Resale, right. 120.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's,
they're not going to make 20s anymore.
Well, they've actually come out today and said they're going to build about 20,000.
More?
Well, total.
Oh, okay.
They've already put out about
4,000?
Maybe 2,000 to 4,000. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, is that all?
But
that's going to devalue them then. Resale.
And they were supposed to put out a little better than 20, so they'll still be a little rare, but it won't be quite what they were thinking it was going to be.
There you go. All right.
Time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Memories on the Highline poles. Free and easy down the road I go. Free and easy down the road I go.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and
tried. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we do have a caller online. We got Pete. What's up, bud?
The man.
How you doing, guys?
Oh, we all good.
Sitting in here, my mouth is watering for some more of that fine seafood over there. It's fantabulous seafood shit, baby.
Hey, let me tell you, speaking of the car doctor, all right. We dumped about 9 loads of rock on the parking lot, steamrolled it, and it's like so nice and smooth. You won't need the car doctor after visiting it.
I've already got a report on that. It said that the new rock gravel parking lot is great.
You're costing me money on the.
With it, but it's just real. Just
yeah, you're gonna
right
you're gonna close up the damn body shops and the frame people. Yeah.
I meant no harm.
Oh yeah, you did no purpose. You did no purpose. You put them guys out about the business, man. You know, but hey, man, tell us about the fantabulous.
More grits, greens, and gumbo.
There you go. Tell us about the big fabulous heads. The new heads.
You got to really get down, guys. I mean, it's Ed's 20 years old now, and the tradition that they started there, and it passed the baton, and we've got the place looking so amazing now. Beautiful views. We've taken away all the obstructions by the windows. We've added, more seats at the bar. We went from a 4-seat bar to about a 20-seat bar. We've got a ramp going down to the lower deck where handicap can access that. I mean, beautiful, clean, new floor in the whole dining room. New items on the menu. It's just really looking great and feeling great. Clean as a whistle. Come on down. Get you some. We'll have the coleslaw ready for you.
I understand you have a new server over there. My buddy told me that he saw a new server out there working the other day, cleaning tables and what have you.
Who's that? Me?
Said his name was Nick, the bus boy.
Oh, Nick? Oh, yeah. We call him Nicholas.
Nicholas. Hey, but you know what? Big boy does whatever it takes, whatever it needs to be done.
You know it.
Yep.
Absolutely. He's a champ, man. He's a champ. Nick's doing a great job. I'll tell you, those guys. You know, Jamie and Casey and Matt and G in the kitchen, they have all stepped up just tremendously, putting it back together and running with limited seating. But, people are busy. They're packed. They're wanting to come out. We're just rebuilding the staff, and just everybody's been really, really kicking it nice. And the food's just great.
Oh, it is. Amazing. The food is fantabulous. I was so glad to be able to get back over there and get some great seafood. How are we staying with the oysters in the oyster bar? What's our oyster situation now?
Man, we're serving oysters on the half shell, as always, and come on down and get you some. Now, we do have a custom piece of equipment being put together so we can have an oyster station right out there out front where the bar is. We've got one end of the bar that's going to be dedicated to our oyster shucker out there, and we're going to start featuring some of the some of the farm-raised oysters, some of the boutique oysters, Point Pond, stuff like that. Some of them, some of them little more gourmet oysters as well as the commodity oysters. And we're also going to have kind of a cold seafood bar there where you can get marinated crab claws and ceviche, you know, like a little seafood tower, but it'll be a southern seafood tower for sure.
Okay. All right. Now, I understand that you're going to have some draft beer there or craft beers. What are you going to do at that new bowling alley bar?
Yeah, we added draft. You know, that's something that we haven't had. And so we'll have three different local crafts on there, and then a good old like an Ultra, one of our best sellers, mm-hmm. on tap. So you can get
that's
that.
That's my brand.
We're adding two Bushwhacker machines.
Mm.
And, a big bar. Like I said, you can come in there and eat and have an amazing view and a cool bar. And, just everything's just right. I mean, I'm so proud of that place.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm going down to buy me a new bowling ball, though. Would you clear the bar off and let me make a few patches off?
Clear the lane. He's busting my chops, y'all. Yeah. You don't know. It may not know. I bought a bowling alley floor, and the bar top is like, whew, it's like a... Bama Bowl up in Tuscaloosa.
It is awesome.
Some of y'all may have bowled on that in the past. Gorgeous. And the Fight or Die wall is amazing.
Oh, that is unbelievable. That is really neat.
You know, we support the troops and law enforcement and everybody around here. And the Fight or Die team actually presented us with one of the oars that rowed their veteran rowing team 3,000 miles across the Atlantic.
Man, I just being able to touch that thing and not even thinking about putting it in my hand for 50 days.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. So we've got that mounted on the wall, and I had this great artist hand a leg come and paint silhouette like a map so you can see where these guys rowed across the ocean. And I've got some pictures that you actually forwarded me. I'm going to get those blown up, put on there. So that's a real neat tribute piece, and it looks beautiful, and it's become part of the Ed story, man. You introduced me to those guys, and came here, and they're just an amazing group.
It is an amazing group, and they've made you part of the group. I think what they want to do is fly both of us out there and let us row one day.
Oh, Lord. They better have Coast Guard chopper real close.
Yeah, man, keep that chopper close. I want that sucker to stay on the water. we'll tow it along.
When they're at the dock, we'll get in there. I jumped in one of those seats. They have those rails with the rollers.
Oh, yeah.
When the first time they came by, and I thought I broke the boat.
Hey, you know what I've been accusing those guys of? And you'll notice it. Just stop and think when you look at that wall. And then you look where they leave it over there in some island. It's called a Spanish island, but it's actually off the coast of Africa. And then you take that map, you chart that map down to the Antigua down in the Virgin Islands. And I asked them, why did it take so damn long? They said, it shouldn't have been any problem. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's all downhill. Look on the globe, man. Look on the map. Oh, it's downhill.
God, you're killing me, man. You're killing me, Tom.
He said, well, it ain't downhill when you out there in it.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, man, appreciate you giving us a shout. How about the rest of the places now? Are you back open with all of your other restaurants?
Yeah, we're open everywhere. Squid Ink's back. We're doing limited seating inside. We've added a few seats outside downtown. Squid Ink's just been doing great. We just got nominated for a whole bunch of awards there. The food's awesome. The cocktails are awesome. Panini Pete's, we're back doing our thing, and so is Sunset Point. We're doing a lot more takeout. Still, there's a lot of people exercising the curbside and the takeout, but there's a lot of folks coming out. We got everybody wearing masks
and
gloves out front, and we're doing our part to keep everybody safe. A lot of people aren't overly concerned, but if you are, we're respecting that.
Right. If you want to wear the mask, I noticed all your waitresses and everybody that's your waiters are wearing masks, and no table is cleaned off with the plates and glasses and all without somebody standing right behind them and start cleaning it, washing it down, spraying it down with the cleaner,
Yeah, sanitized. No condiments on the table.
Right.
So everything's single use. You don't have the ketchup bottles or any of that stuff there. You need hot sauce.
Yeah, if you want all that stuff, you got to ask for it now,
Yeah.
And the old days of...
It's a new world, Tom.
It is. And you know what? It's not going to change back to the way it was the older days.
Completely. People are going to expect it.
No, we're going to be able to get back to our full seating and all that kind of stuff, but the cleanliness and the sanitation and sanitizing all of the stuff, and even a lot of people wearing masks, we're going to see a lot more of that.
I've been trying to get Nick to wear a mask for 10 years, man. They don't make them big enough.
Whole different reasons, though, right? So, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I can solve that deal for Nick. Let me tell you. I heard a guy talking about the lady went into the bank and to make a deposit, and she didn't have a mask on. And the bank teller said, lady, said, I'm sorry. Said, I can't handle a transaction from you without a mask. She says, well, I got to make this deposit. So, well, you got to have a mask. So she drops her trousers, pulls her panties off, puts her trousers back on, takes her panties, and pulls her panties over her damn head, made a mask out of her panties. She said, now, you want to take my deposit now?
I think I'll let Nick go without a mask. Now that you're
in, yeah, yeah.
Lord. Oh yeah, we'll pass on that mask.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, you're too much.
Hey, it's like a woman come into Walmart the other day and had a bra across her nose. So what the hell?
She just had a good Saturday night.
Yeah.
She didn't have time to find her other mask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my Lord. I'll see you, big guy. Listen. It's awesome.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you, man, but come out and see us. And really, Ed is looking phenomenal. We're very proud of it and the food, the service. The crew's doing amazing jobs. Come out and see us. It's the most beautiful place on the causeway. The view is phenomenal and the food is fantastic.
Thank you, Mr.
Come on down.
Thank you, Mr. Pete. We'll be seeing you, buddy. Have a good one.
Take care, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The pajama man. Yeah, I was over there the other day, and we were on the back porch with Donald Sitat, the guy from gets veterans their jobs and all.
Right.
And this couple came in, and this good-looking lady had on a pair of white boots. And Pete walked by, and he says, love those boots. And she just laughed, said, thank you, and went on by. I got up, and I said, you know what, lady? She turned around and looked at me, and she said, what, sir? I said, only a guy wearing his damn pajamas could say something about your boots. She said, yeah, I was going to say something about it, but I'm afraid not. Anybody wears his pajamas, I guess he could talk about somebody else's
That's
boots.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Philip, how much time we got?
About 15 seconds.
Okay. I thought we was about to run out. Just watching the clock. But anyway, when we come back, I guess we'll talk a little bit about UJ Chevrolet and see
what
we got going on and how we're trying to keep everything clean, everybody safe, and everybody away from each other. But we'll be back after these messages.
I stopped at a roadhouse in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan. I heard that old jukebox playing a song about a truck driving man. So pull me another cup.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play.
Yeah, welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. Or you can send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. But before we went on break there, we were talking a little bit about the steps we're taking to keep the cars clean and customers and staff safe. So far, we've been lucky. None of our staff have come down sick.
That's unbelievable. So, how many people y'all got out there?
Yeah, yeah. There have been some dealers in town that have been hit by it. But, knock on wood.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. What are some of the things? I mean, everybody knows that we talk about sanitizing this and wiping this off. What are some of the things that you have actually encompassed in your, what would you call it? Just sanitizing rather than detailing or what have you?
Well, and it's not detailing. We're not cleaning the cars.
Right.
We're sanitizing the cars.
The touch areas, would you say?
Right. We have a hospital grade disinfectant that we use that's in a little sprayer. We're spraying the outside door handle, the inside door handle, the switches, the steering wheel, the ignition switch, the shifter, seat switches, armrests,
rear view mirrors,
anything you may touch in the car.
Touchy-feely areas.
Right. And then, you know, of course, we still have the seat covers and the floor mats that go in the car, and we're also wrapping the steering wheel with a cellophane-type material.
Now, so is that before each person gets in it? I mean, talking about a new car. Were you talking about?
No, we're talking about a customer's car coming on the service.
Customer's car on the service lane. Coming right. In. Okay.
Of course, now they're doing this with all of the new and used inventory to where people can not get in and drive it and not worry about who's been in it last or whether it's been cleaned. So. Before and after each test drive, it's sanitized. But you know we're doing that. Everybody's wearing gloves in the shop. We're wearing gloves on the service aisle when we're getting the cars ready to
and
go back.
And masks, I would guess.
Not masks. We haven't got into the mask thing. But you know we're keeping everything and this disinfectant we're using is supposed to be good for 24 hours. Even if something transfers to it, it should kill it.
It should kill it. Okay.
We do our thing with the vehicle, whatever we got to do, and once it's done, we take all of our coverings off and we re-sanitize, re-disinfect the vehicle again before it's given to the customer.
So, oh, neat. Okay.
Yeah, that way we're doing everything we can reasonably to. Keep everybody safe.
How many people are changing out their filters in their cabin filters and cabin?
We changed quite a few.
Would you recommend that?
Oh, always. I mean, it should be changed once a year anyway. Okay. Just as much pollen and dust and everything we have down here, it's a good thing to change about once a year.
Well,
anyway.
It's a big fiber filter and all. It's as big or thicker than actually the ones that we have in our homes and our air conditioners there. So it's not like something would get through that, not as far as this COVID-19 or any of that kind of stuff. It would be stopped in the filtration.
Yeah,
in the fibers
of
the filter.
Yeah, we don't have any trouble with that, I wouldn't imagine. It's a pretty good filter as far as stopping anything like that. But just for the simple fact of the pollen and stuff we have around here.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing to change anyway.
Well, my nose knows all about that.
Oh, I'll tell you. It's
my doctor, too, with all of the steroids and antibiotics.
I suffer all the time with it. I tell you, it's not good.
Yeah.
We do have a text message here. Let's see. We have I have a 2011 Tahoe. If the front upper and lower ball joints are bad, will it make your car feel like the rotors are warped when you come to a stop? Should not. If you have a your ball joints they'll give you slack in it. You'll get some play. You'll get some loose feeling in the front end. Should not create a vibration. Now, if you hit a bump and it gets things to shaking, it may shake a little more.
Yeah.
But as far as the rotors, it could magnify a rotor being warped. So if the tire gets to shaking, it's going to be able to move the spindle more. But usually, if it's worn out, and the rotors are good, it's still going to stop fairly smooth. Probably you still have a rotor problem. Yeah, we'd have to look at it and drive it. But ball joints are a fairly common thing on that particular vehicle. It's like most vehicles out there now, they don't have grease fittings, and if the boots get busted somewhere along the line, they get dry.
I had to change my tie rod ends and all on my Lincoln, about 70-something thousand miles, I guess it was.
Right.
I would have thought they would have lasted, but, they didn't have a grease fitting in them either.
Right. And that's what we get with a lot of vehicles nowadays is that, they don't have grease fittings on anything. Some of our 25 and 3500 series trucks do. Most of the rest of our stuff don't.
Something they expect to go 300-400,000 miles probably.
Right. I mean, most of our Well, you know, it's not unusual for our gas burners and half tons to go 250,000 miles.
But the larger vehicles are going to normally take more abuse.
Well, they're designed to carry a much heavier load, and they take much more of a beating. So they give you a little more access to be able to get in there and service them. Let's see, got a message back. Just changed the rotors and pads, thinking that would correct the warping feeling as you come to a stop. Now, and it's very possible. Now, what you may be feeling is you may actually have even rear rotors on that same vehicle making it shake.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's shaking the vehicle doesn't necessarily mean it has to be the front. It could be the rear as well. Tires can also cause it, and I've had tires do it. Wheels, if you've got the factory wheels, usually they're pretty good. I see people with aftermarket wheels, and they don't center real well on the hubs. I see a lot of them with little plastic rings to help center them up on the hubs, and it gets them close, but it's not really accurate.
So, right.
I would really have to feel it to see, but more than likely, I think we're still talking about brakes. Yeah.
But, is that something that they could bring into the shop? I mean, do y'all inspect stuff like that? And if so, what kind of charge would be in it to check and determine what really needs to be done to it?
You know, it's part of our safety inspection when we do an oil change or service on the vehicle. Now, normally we don't test drive them for a service like that.
But you would check for wear factors.
Yeah, I mean, if they're new, we would probably need to get in there and check the brakes. And you're probably, just to do a check in front end safety check, you're probably looking somewhere in the $65 range.
Okay.
It's just really depend on what we're getting into. Time is money, and it's all about how much time you have to spend on it.
That's all y'all got to sell is time.
Right, right. But I've seen many things cause a shake, and I've seen tires do it quite a bit. But normally, when you're talking about pulsation, vibration, when you're hitting the brakes, slowing down, it's you usually always brakes.
Right.
Yeah. They can cause you some definite headaches for sure. Also need to look and see if it does it from the first time you stop it or after you drive it a while, it gets worse. I've seen issues with caliper sticking causing rotors to get hot, so the further you drive them, the worse they get, because they start getting that warp thickness variation is what actually causes the pulsation, but they'll get that little bit of variation in them, and it'll start pulsating pretty bad, cool off, and they'll go back fairly normal. But after you do that for a few times, then they end up staying that way. Just one of those things I have to check, But anyway, it's we're definitely coming into our summer travel time. Tires are a big thing we need to be looking at. Nobody wants to be broke down on the side of the road with a blown out tire.
Nope.
So we need to be looking at tires and cooling systems, that kind of thing. Tires is the big factor that gets you broke down on the side of the road more often than anything else.
Well, I mean, you have one of the things that we're not getting running up on time, are we? Okay. We can look at tires and see how much they've worn or how badly they have worn. But then on the other hand, if you didn't buy that set of tires that is on the car, then it might pay you to check your date.
Right.
On the tires, and get out and make a little note of it, and if you will, tell our listeners what they need to be looking for it and how those numbers are read.
Yeah, there's a DOT number on the tire, and right next to that DOT number, there will be a little oval shaped indention on the tire, and in that oval shaped piece, there will be a 4-digit number, and we're looking for a tire that's less than 5 years old. If it's over 5 years old, it's time to change it.
Right.
They have a tendency to dry rot. Right. And the way you read that, just say if it's 45-15, okay? That's the 45th week of 2015.
45-15, 40 would be the 45th. The first two numbers are the week of the year.
Right, what week we're talking about.
And then the last two numbers are the last two digits of the year.
Right, right. So
45-15 is the 45th week in 2015. So you're talking about...
Yeah.
We're there.
We're almost five years old there.
Right, we're almost five years old now.
Yeah, so if you look at the side of your tire and it's got... the last two digits are 15 or lower,
right?
You're probably right on the edge.
If they're 12, 13, 14, or 15, it's time. You need to be worried about getting some tires.
Right. And, you know, nobody wants to get broke down on the side of the road. That's about as miserable as you can get having to change a tire.
Especially out of town now.
Well, and it's always going to happen at the worst place it could possibly happen. Yeah. It's like, okay, I get on the Bayway, and guess what's going to happen?
No, I don't want flat tire on the Bayway.
No, that's no fun whatsoever. Been there, done that one. So, no fun whatsoever. You know, and it's just not safe. And, you know, I have been known to drive one off if I had to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good for it.
Yeah, I know. I just would hope I don't tear a fender off.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get a rim.
Yeah. The wheel was history at that point. But, you know, I'd rather buy a wheel than... Yeah, the alternative for sure.
It's cheaper than my butt scattered all over that water.
Exactly.
Over there
exactly.
I'll be eating by the fish.
Yeah. There's gators down there, I guarantee
you.
Yeah,
gators get me over there, mind you.
But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Let it all hang out, because we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. You know, we were speaking of cars in summer and people traveling. We were messing with a convertible the other day, convertible Camaro. And, you know, the complaint was that the top wouldn't function, you know. And well, actually, it was the trunk would not open. The top was in a mid-motion. It appeared to be closed. Everything seemed to be latched, but it did not complete its motion. And it was one of the simplest things. And sometimes you got to stop and look at basics. Yeah.
I've got a story about that.
The basics usually is what gets you. I tell you, you know, we got to looking around, messing with it. You know, of course we got the trunk open, which we were able to release it, electrically through our scanner. Got in the trunk, looking around, seeing what's going on. You know, everything appears to be in place. But on these convertibles, they have what they call a luggage barrier that has to be in place, you know, for the convertible top to operate. And don't know what happened, but this car off a car lot, and got to looking, and there was some damage around one of the anchor points for that barrier. Well, these things actually have a sensor. It has a magnet. It doesn't look like it's anything. It's a little carpeted piece that has four little snap-in points. But on two of the points, there's a sensor, and it's activated by a magnet that's on that board. And we got to messing around, and the thing was the... Apparently, where it was damaged, the magnet was missing.
Uh-oh.
And it was not seeing the barrier in place. So we had to get in there and take care of that. And imagine that. Everything goes back to working. You know, of course, everybody, you know, you got a electrical convertible top. you know, electric release on the trunk that's all tied together. The windows would not operate properly. The top wouldn't work. The trunk wouldn't open. I mean, there's all kind of messages.
Get rid of that damn car. It's broken.
Right. You know, and
oh, broke.
You get to digging on the things, and it's like
time to buy a new car.
You know, it's like, well, you know, it's this little barrier thing in the trunk. So,
you got to carry an extra magnet around in your pocket or something.
No. Just don't damage that thing.
You're good. Okay. Now, you're talking about a barrier. Has to do with, you said luggage barrier, so mm-hmm. that would indicate to me that thing is in the trunk.
Right.
So then the top, the convertible top, comes down and goes into the front part of the trunk.
Correct.
So that would keep the luggage from getting into the convertible top.
Right. And that's exactly what it's there for. It's there so you know where you can put stuff safely in the trunk and still operate the top.
Okay.
Now, if you
don't go beyond that point.
And we've had people damage the top because all it knows is the barrier's in place. It doesn't know whether you stuff something in behind it or not. So,
you mean I can't put golf clubs and fold down chairs?
Well, that's the problem with some of these convertibles is once you put the top down, there ain't a whole lot of trunk left. So, yeah, they're great. I mean, they're fun to get out and ride around in summer, but it takes up a whole bunch of trunk space.
There you go. Okay.
But
well, look, if I was going to buy me a convertible to ride around in, I wouldn't be wanting to put nothing in the damn trunk anyway, because I'd want my cooler in the back seat.
Yeah, that's right. All I got to do is reach back, grab it, and move on.
Yeah, bartender, pass another one up to the front. Oh, you can't do that though, can you?
No,
I don't believe police let you do that.
If you get somebody to drive for you, be all right.
Oh, okay. I could sit in the passenger seat and do that.
The passenger seat thing.
Don't let the driver smell of it.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
But, you know, and it's.
I believe I just go to the house and pop a top.
And, you know, and talking about simple things, you know, we had one that come from a body shop that. It had some repair damage done on it, and they had, when they got it all back together, a lot of stuff just wasn't working right.
Ooh.
They had the corner where the battery box and all that was located all apart.
Huh?
And there's a bunch of grounds all around that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I had talked to them before, and it's like, you know, you probably left a ground off.
Right.
They're talking about you blow the horn and the windshield wipers work and stuff like that. You know, it's like if that is funny. Happening, it's looking for a ground somewhere and it's backfeeding.
And it's backfeeding. Yeah. I'll be darned.
And it's like you left a ground loose, I guarantee you. And I don't know. We put everything back on. No, you didn't. You know? And we get to dig and have to take it apart, you know, because a lot of those things you can't find, can't see.
Oh, yeah.
Until you take it apart.
I can remember it being in the shop down at Complete when I was down there, and some of those cars and, you know, the headlights wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. But then you check and find out the dimmer of the parking light didn't work either. So then you'd find out that the headlight was grounded to the parking light.
Right. You know?
So it didn't have a ground, and you go like, what the hell?
Right.
Yeah, let's put a jumper wire to that light. Okay, the light works okay, you know. It's got a ground on it. Yeah, we ground it to got a wire, jumper wire over here.
Yeah. I've seen
like an hour and a half trying to figure out it didn't have a good ground. It was rusted.
I've seen them over the years where, you know, the taillights and the front marker lights and all that shouldn't be tied together. Yeah. But I've actually had cars where you run down the road, you hit the brakes, and your turn signal indicators on the dash would light up. You know,
oh, Lord.
Partially, not completely.
Just fair deal.
And, you know, you get thinking about it, it's like, well, it's got to be in the back because that's where the brake lights
right,
are.
Right, yeah.
No, not necessarily. Yeah, it can actually be in the front. And I've had grounds up front cause that, and it, you know, it's going to go looking for a ground. It's going to find one.
You know
somewhere.
What? That's the reason we don't have mechanics anymore, because a mechanic wouldn't be able to figure that out. You know, he'd have to be have a little bit of technician in him before he would figure out all these grounds and wires and all this stuff. You know, but that's why technicians are technicians,
right? And you know, it's that kind of stuff I enjoy because it's kind of neat, and you get to chasing things, and you know that's what got me into this stuff anyway was doing that kind of
stuff.
Well,
that's reading you the car doctor,
and I like a challenge. Yeah, there's some challenges I get tired of, but yep. All in all, I do enjoy that kind of stuff. It's getting more and more interesting as the years go on, but hey, we'll get through it. If the engineers
would quit changing the way they make stuff work every year, it wouldn't be so bad. But it seems like every year you've got to refigure out how the schematic works and what the wiring setup
is. I'd just be happy if they put the correct information in the service manual. Where the wiring diagrams are right and the
do that wrong. Would
they? No. Will do that to you in a second.
No, they wouldn't do that. No,
yeah, I've seen that on multiple occasions, and we were just talking about one today where the parts information was wrong in the. Parts catalog, which actually had us get the wrong part number, so it sent us chasing our tail. Is like, well, okay, it's a brand new part, it should be good, why is it not working?
Mm-hmm.
It's doing something different than it was, but it's still not doing what it should do. So they'll send you off on a wild goose chase sometime, I guarantee you. It is what it is. Phillip, about how much time we got left here?
Okay. 20 seconds. Yep.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight. We will be here next week, of course.
Right. Oh, yeah. And glad to be back in the studio, man.
Glad to be back in the studio, not having to do this over the phone.
Amen. Yeah, the engineers are giving amen on that quarter.
Yeah,
over that
absolutely.
Amen. But you know what we want to do? We certainly want to thank all of the fine folks at these hospitals and all these medical centers that stood by us and did all the stuff for us during all this period of time, and we certainly don't want to forget our first responders and our veterans and a big hurrah to all of it.
Roll on, crew. Roll on, mama, like I ask you to do. And roll on, 18.